from a sitter, or you typed it all yourself?
No, this is from Schwab, actually. Oh. Okay, so moving into Yehi Chavod, we'll start with our introduction. So this tefillah is an awe-inspiring tefillah formulated mostly from Psukim, in which we request that Hashem's greatness should be recognized by all the nations and the whole world's creatures, and that His exaltedness should become apparent to everyone in the near future, which will cause that love of that Hashem has for us to become known to everybody. The Sod Cherish Ravoda writes that this compilation of Psukim and the order in which they're composed is based on a very deep principle and contain many hidden references to Hashem's holy names. And it's integral that we say these psukim with joy, with concentration, with fervent desire that Hashem's glory, His covet, should become known to all. And Chazal tells us that one who concentrates properly during Yehi Chavod, that's a proven method of receiving a burst of inspiration, a spiritual inspiration, which can enable a person to maintain such devotion throughout the rest of Psukim Dezimra and Birchas Kriya Shema into Shemoneh Esrei. And therefore one should try very hard not to skip it. Yehi Chavod is comprised of 18 psukim, and the Shem Hashem is mentioned 19 times. And that alludes to the Tefillah of Shemoneh Esrei, which originally had 18 brachos, and then was later expanded to 19 brachos. And that's again in keeping with the purpose of Psukim Dezimra, which is preparing ourselves for that main Tefillah for Shemoneh Esrei. Rav Shimshon Pinkus mentions also there are 18 psukim, connected to 18 chulios, the vertebrae in the spine. And the spine is what connects the body to the brain. And that connection is what uplifts the body. And he says, so too, any time we find the number 18, it's a connection between the brain, which is Hashem, and the guf, which is the world. And this connection is what uplifts the world. And Yehi Chavod, he says, is an introductory tefillah, it's an hakdama to Ashrei, which is the climax of Psukim Dezimra. So before we sing and praise Hashem and uplift the world, we have to first connect back to Hashem. And just like the body, the body parts only work when they're connected back to the brain, so too, we have to give life to the world, where the world will only work when we're connected back to Hashem. And then we open up, we say, Yehi Chavod Hashem La'olam. What's Kavod Hashem? So Rav Shimshon Pinkus explains that when we attach to Him, when we're misbatal ourselves, that's the Kavod of Hashem, because the less we hold of ourselves, the more we uplift and honor Hashem. And then we continue and say, Yismach Hashem. When are we Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav? When we do His actions. And just like a child makes a parent proud when the child does and follows in his father's footsteps, so too Hashem is proud of us and is happy when we're following and doing, going on His way. Rabbi Sparrow asks, he says, we keep saying, we say, Yehi Shem Hashem b'varach, Muhul al Shem Hashem. What is the Shem Hashem that we keep referring to? So he says, the Kadmonim explained the Shem Hashem is the Shem Shakai. And what's the significance of this? So he says, when Hashem created the world, He did so instituting the rules of nature that we call Teva, Mazel, and our world follows these rules of nature, and it's not meant to change. Now, with this in mind, it makes it difficult then to imagine that we read about Yehi Chavod, which is all the things coming up in the future, that how can they come true based on the world that we live in today? And we're discussing what it's going to be, and we live today in a decadent world, in a moral world, a world that does not acknowledge Hashem. So the answer to how that will happen is through that name of Shakai. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus tells us, Shakai, there are 6 ways to arrange these letters. You do the math, 6 times 3 equals 18, so 1 letter per pasuk. And in Bereishis, Hashem appears to Avram at the age of 99 and tells him, Ani kel Shakai, Rashi explains, Hashem's telling Avraham, that there's enough of my divinity for each and every creature. And the Reyitzah clarifies that Hashem was assuring Avram that He has the wherewithal to care for him. And the Berbasada elucidates further that Hashem was assuring Avram that even though you will be different, because you'll have done a bris milah, physically you'll be different, but anyone who has that desire to connect and relate back with me will have that ability. The next time we come across the name Shakai is when Yaakov sends his children back to Mitzrayim for the second time. And he says, V'kel Shakai yitin lechem rachamim. Rashi explains, Misha omar la'olam odai, the one who said to his world, enough, yomar l'tzaraseinu dai, should say, Tawet Tzaros, enough also. And the Ramchal in Das Tfunos explains that Hashem, had He chosen, could have made an infinite world, which would have been proportionate to His infinite ability. But He did not. Instead, He chose to make the world with limitations. And in that same vein, Yaakov asked that Hashem inflict suffering only on a person commensurate with the ability that he has to withstand that. And though Hashem can do whatever he wants, he generally allows the world to run in this accordance with these laws of nature, with Teva. And it's not easily undone, but Tefillah has that ability to change that. And the name Shakai is rooted in the word of Shodade, which means to rob or to ravage, to completely abolish things, to reverse things the way they are. And the Nefesh HaChaim explains, he compares the name Shakai and the name Elohim. And he implies telling us that since I'm the all-encompassing ruler over everything, I have that ability, if I choose, to uproot nature and to begin it again. And Shem Shin Pinkus explains to this, he says, Elohim, the Shem Elohim normally refers to the universal God, the universal Hashem, while the name Shakai is the one that highlights the extent of Hashem's concern for the needs of every individual. Simply stated, the name Shakai is a name that is used to convey Hashem's reassurance that he created the world with enough for everybody. In esoteric terms, the name Shakai corresponds to the concept of Yesod, which means foundation. And Yesod is the supremacy or the control of the spiritual over the physical, as the same way as Hashem stopped creation from continuing. Yosef HaTzadik is the one who had the Midah of Yesod. Yosef earned that title of Tzadik when he broke free from the Yetzahara of Ashes Potiphar, as she tried to lure him into the Avera, and he got that title of Tzadik when he was able to run away from that and displayed superhuman strength. And now, how did Yosef accomplish this? He was in a country full of extreme decadence. He was alone. He had no family. No one even knew that he was there. How did he find that resolve to overcome these temptations? And the answer is Yosef mimicked the name of Shakai, and he used that to help him. And Shimon Schwab asks, he says, how do young men today find that strength to overcome the daily nisyonos that they face? How do Jewish women find the inner strength to dress modestly and thereby personify kol kavud debas melech panima? And this is by living by the mantra, by living of what Yehovah is telling us, by bringing that kavod to Hashem. Rav Shimshon Pinkus describes, he says, the Bali Tefillah of old, he says, Rav Shach told him that when they used to get up to say Hineni before Musaf on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when they said the word Shakai, they would faint. And Rav Shimshon said about himself, he said, I never actually fainted, but I would always cry while uttering these words. And we ourselves as well, we could say also that it's true, Hashem, that within the rules of nature that you've established, we may not be deserving. But you are the Shakai. You can break those rules. And all you need for us is to beg you to break them, and then you will react and give us what we need. Now we explained that Pesuk de Zimra, we said, corresponds to the Ulam. And the Ulam, there were these Sharshara Shalzav, there were these golden chains that were Hayukvuim Betikras Ulam that hung from the ceiling. And Rishim Schwab explains, working with that concept of Nigadelcha, that we're still in the Nigadelcha portion of Pesuk de Zimra, that Yehi Chavod is like those golden chains that utilize a paragogical style in which the various psukim are linked together in a chain-like fashion. And that's what this photocopy is. It shows you the highlighted words that link the psukim together. Words from an earlier pasuk are picked up and act as links to the following pasuk, which contain the same or a similar word. And this entire mizmar, starting with Yehi Chavod Hashem L'Olam, reflects the state in which the world will exist at the time of Mashiach, when the height of development of all mankind will have been reached, and the entire world will recognize Hashem. It continues then with the three psukim from the beginning of Hallel, in which the universal and permanent recognition of Hashem is the subject. The permanence of this new world order is the theme of these psukim. And this continues and tells us about the happiness of all creatures, whether they're spiritual as well as physical, as it says, Yismichu HaShemayim for the spiritual, V'sagel ha'aretz for the physical. And when Hashem is finally and permanently recognized that supreme ruler with the declaration of Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Olam Vod. Then we continue, we say Hashem Melech, Olam Vod, of Dugoy Me'arzo, that when Hashem becomes the permanent, recognized ruler, then the nations will disappear from the world. Nations are what are political entities which delineate themselves into self-contained, independent units. In our time, the nation, the states, that's the building block of the world. And each one is sovereign of each other. However, in the time of Mashiach, the nations as we know them will disappear. Instead, the world will fall into divisions that will be known as families. And rather than disconnected, independent nations, we will find, as Hashem told Avraham, "V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama," that Avraham's told that all the families of the world will be blessed in his schus. And it's families that will consist of fathers and mothers, children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, which will become the building block of the world. And it was this structure that Hashem planned this creation of the world. Machshavos libo l'dar v'dar, and eventually it will become realized, this structure. However, unfortunately, in our time, we've seen the deterioration of the traditional family, and even worse than that. But the psukim tell us that all these plans and all these ideas will be eliminated from the world. Then we come upon four psukim, each that begin with the word ki. And the Gemara tells us that ki has four different meanings as follows. It can mean are, meaning if. Dilma, which means when or in the event of. Ella means but. And daha means because. And each one of these four psukim, Rishim and Shwab tells us, refers back to one of these meanings. Ki hu amar vayehi hu tziva vayamod means if he says something, it becomes reality. And if he commands it, it stands up. Then it says, Kivach Hashem et Tzion, Eva Lamoshevlo. When Hashem chose Tzion, he wanted it to be his dwelling place. Then we say, Ki Yaakov Bachaloka, Yisrael Iskuloso, because Hashem chose Yaakov, he wanted Yisrael to become his special treasure. And the last one is, Ki Lo Yitosh, Hashem Amo, and Achloso Lo Yazov, that even if we do not merit to be his treasure, because we do Averos, but Hashem will never leave his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Now, however, since we realize, due to our shortcomings, we're still very far from this reaching this ideal situation, this future world, we therefore call out to Hashem, V'hurachum yicheper avon v'lo yashchis v'hevol shiv apo. Now, the first time we mentioned this pasuk was back in Hodu. We were talking individually. As the next pasuk there told us, At Hashem lo sichla rachemeni mimeni, from me. However, now we approach Hashem as a tzibur, as a collective nation of Yaakov and Yisrael, who he has chosen as his treasure, and we ask that if we must be punished, let it be in small installments. V'lo yar kol chamaso. We don't want to arouse his entire rage in order that the v'lo yashchis, that despite our shortcomings, we may be preserved as his nation to realize the purpose of creation, which is to lead the world to a universal recognition of Hashem. And then we end, Hashem Oshia Melchanein V'yam Kareinu, and that, this part concludes the Negadelcha portion of Psukah Dezimra, and Ashrei then starts the next part, the Nishabechacha portion. Now, we had mentioned that there are 18 psukim in Yehi Chavod. 17 are complete psukim, and then there's the pasuk of Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Olam Voed, which is comprised from three different psukim. It comes from the pasuk of Hashem Melech, Olam Voed, Avdu Goyim Me'artzo, Hashem Moloch, Geyaz Lovesh, and the pasuk of Hashem Yimloch, Olam Voed. If Shimshon Pinkus asks, he says, there is no other example that's like this. And even more so, we know that from Chazal that any pasuk that did not come from Moshe Rabbeinu, we cannot go ahead and make a pasuk out of. And yet, Chazal went ahead and made a pasuk. And he answers that there are three matzavim of Hashem's kingship. And Chazal went ahead and made this pasuk, telling us that Hashem's kingship does not change. It's always the same, whether we're talking about the past, the present, or the future. And even though during the Hashem Melech, which is nowadays, it appears very different, as Hashem Moloch was during the Bayis Rishon, the Hashem Yimloch will be at the time of Mashiach, when Hashem's rulership is apparent to all. But even today, Hashem Melech, and it's just the darkness of the world that blinds us. And we all know everyone has tzaris, everyone has problems. There are sick people, someone has a parnasa issue, shalom bayis issue, and people start questioning, why do I suffer so much? Where are these chasdei Hashem? And the people respond that out of the moment that you're in this tzara, which you'll be sovel, out of that tzara will come great things. Now, while this is true, if Pinkus explains, it's not the entire truth. The entire truth, he says, is that everything Hashem does, even at this moment, is really good. And even though we don't understand in the moment why it's good, we need to know that that all is good. Because Hashem's desire is to do good with us at every single moment. And Chazal tell us there are two thoughts when it comes to how Hashem deals with the world. Rabbi Akiva said, Kol ma da'avid rachmana, latav avid, everything Hashem does is for good. Nachum Ish Gamzu would say, Gamzu latova. And the difference between Rabbi Akiva and his Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzu is Rabbi Akiva is saying everything will be good. Meaning right now, the Midas Adin is working, as in the Gemara that talks about his donkey was ran away, his chicken was killed, his candle blew out. So at the moment, everything didn't look okay, but it will turn out okay at the end. Nachum and Shkamzu was saying, no, the entire action, which looks bad in itself, that entire action is good. And that's from the story where he brought a treasure chest full of treasures to the emperor, and on the way stopped at an inn. The innkeeper emptied the treasure and filled it with sand. And when he brought the treasure to the emperor, they opened it up, saw it was sand, and threw him in prison. And even at that moment, Nachum Ish Gamzu said, Gamzu Latover, even this now is all good. And Chazal tells us, we say, Ozi Moleis Chaykpinu, that in the future we will get to see that not only is the Golus is what brought us to the good, to the Geula Shleima, but the Golus itself, this entire bitter Golus, really is good. And it's just that it's covered up right now. And if Pinkus brings a mashal to explain, he says, someone once had a good friend who wanted to give him $1 million. But the guy refused to accept it. Left with no choice, he puts a banana peel in his friend's path, and when his friend falls and slips on the peel, he quickly stuffs $1 million in his pocket. An outsider may look at this and say, the fall wasn't so good. He hurt himself, could have broken something. But, good came from that fall because he got $1 million. But in reality, Rav Pinkus says, the fall itself was the chesed, as it was done to get him that money. And that's what the gullus is the chesed of Hashem, and therefore it's good too. And Rav Pinkus closes and says that when we say Hashem Melech, we have to get that longing feeling, because it's not just Hashem Moloch and Hashem Yimloch that at those times it's good. But even now, and even though we can't see it, we have nothing right now, but we have to know that nothing has changed. And that should cause us that strong longing feeling. And we have to remember that in those tough moments, that it's Hashem Melech, and that we get good from Him just as Hashem Moloch and Hashem Yimloch. To close with the story and our weekly homework, so we were going through the story here of Bernie getting his emails. Last week he had gotten an email that had moved at least one of his talkers, where we had ended where Chaim had gone upstairs and screened back down to the people that how they're disrupting the davening, and they look back at him, saying how he's ruining the decorum of davening. Next week's email arrived, again on Friday. Though Bernie was in no mood for more practical jokes, something deep inside compelled him to scan the contents. From a perturbed Malach to Bernie Goldberg. Subject, have you ever davened? Bernie Goldberg, what an enormous irony. For 36 years, you have davened 3 times a day. That's about 40,000 times so far. You mouthed the words and sway back and forth. But not once did you feel or sense that you're talking to the creator of the universe. Every moment the tefillah is a precious opportunity to speak directly to Hashem. Incredibly, you trivialize davening and treat it as a social experience. Tefillah starts with one premise. Dalef nei miata omeit, you have to know before you stand. Try concentrating on this from now on. I know you still think this email is a hoax, but you will soon come to your senses. Bernie took the last paragraph of the email as a challenge. He was not going to be intimidated by a prankster. And that Shabbos, he talked even more than usual in shul. Rabbi Cohen was particularly upset, and he finally pounded on a shtender and delivered a passionate drasha. The Shulchan Aruch states that if one converses during the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei, Gadol Avonu Minaso, his sin is too great to be borne, and this expression is borrowed from the Torah when Cain killed Hevel. Cain said, Gadol Avonu Minaso. And by choosing this phrase, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be equating speaking in shul to Cain murdering his brother. Now he says, isn't that comparison completely unbalanced? He says, let me ask a second question. Why was Cain's sin greater that he could bear? The Torah never characterized any other sins in this way. So he answers, he says, listen, my friends, to what I believe is very important answer these two questions. Cain didn't just murder one person. Cain stood at the threshold of creation and killed 1/4 of the world's population. In doing so, he annihilated billions of souls of future generations that would have emerged from Hevel. Generally, a misdeed is fixed and limited, but this sin was almost infinite in its scope. This severity was so massive that Cain cannot bear the burden of the crime. Herein lies that comparison. How great is the sin of speaking during davening? Imagine a delegation of subjects visiting their king in the royal palace. In the middle of the reception, one of the fellows turns around and in earshot of everyone says, boy, this meeting is boring. I wonder how long it will last. Or he might say, do you know a good place to buy shoes on sale? This is unforgivable. When the kings were in vogue, the immediate response was decapitation. Now consider, the Chazan's reciting the Chazaras Hashatz on behalf of the entire congregation. The Tzibur has an audience before Hashem. A man turns to his neighbor and says, I can't wait for the davening to end. What, do you want to hear a good joke? Such a reverence is the quintessential act of chutzpah. It's like slapping Hashem in the face. How great is the sin? It's as great as the Almighty. Since Hashem is infinite, the insolence is infinite as well. We can now understand, he says, the comparison. Just as Cain committed infinite acts of murder, so too is the insult of Hashem, made by people talking during Chazaras Hashatz, infinite in its scope. Both sins are unlimited, and for this reason, they are too overwhelming to be borne by mortal man. Rav Yontov Lipman Heller maintained that the massacres of Tach V'Tat was a punishment because of the lack of decorum that prevailed in the shuls at that time. And in the rabbinic literature, it's reported that many of the shuls were destroyed for the same reason. People often react to these suggestions with incredulity. It's absurd, they say. The punishment far exceeds the crime. But it's not absurd. Can there be a greater crime than insulting Hashem? The Vilna Gaon expressed that the tragedy of the tragedy of human transgression. Tomorrow you will cry for what you laughed at today. Don't you realize the magnitude of your crime? Don't you realize that by speaking in shul you're playing with fire? The people didn't realize a thing. They waited for Rabbi Cohen to sit down and then continued to talk as usual. And we will continue the story next week. I think that might maybe one or two more weeks more of the story. The homework, as always, is to take one shachris during the week to focus on Yichavod and think about what we're saying and try to do it as properly as possible that's allowed in the minyan and we daven it.